Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Nothing says welcome home like a hidden body in the basement. It's Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
It has now been 30 years since the tragic murder of Tejano superstar Selena. Not talking about Selena Gomez, for those of you born in the last 20 years. Her name was just Selena, and she was a superstar. Yolanda Salvador is the one who took her life in a hotel room back in 1995. She still says, it was an accident. I was going to kill myself and the gun went off. The jury did not believe that. And after a lot of testing, the story is just kind of ridiculous. But now, 30 years later, she's up for parole. And that could be an interesting thing. Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. I think everybody thought, well, she's gone for life. Not so much. She's 64 and might see the light of day. Obviously, this is such a high-profile case. There's risk on the outside. Freedom isn't necessarily freedom if you're the one who shot Selena.
Oh, very true. And this case, you know, gripped the nation. And even though I was young, I recall it.
Yeah, we were kids.
We think that these things go away. But hey, she's back now. So the parole board is going to be looking at a number of factors. Is she best postured to obtain release? I'm not so sure. And we'll be interested to see how those parole hearings go and what the sort of public attachment to this case is like 30 years later.
And it's going to be interesting because there's a lot of things that go into a parole hearing that the board is going to consider. It's going to be, you know, her own plea and letter, why she feels that she should be out. Recommendations, if there are any, and she has had good behavior. But you're also going to have victim statements from Selena's family that are going to be taken into consideration as well. How strongly does all of that weigh to parole boards? And I know they're all a bit different, but if you have someone who claims rehabilitation, hasn't had an issue in prison in 30 years, but you have the family saying, she destroyed our world and our life, and I mean, millions of fans. I mean, people, you still see Selena shirts that people are wearing today. Did a ton of damage and ended a life of someone who worked so hard for where they were. How much does the parole board weigh this versus that?
Yeah, hard to balance these sort of competing interests. One thing that comes to mind, you know, of course, every life is intrinsically valuable. And if you take one, that is an immeasurable loss. Mm-hmm. For taking Selena's life, it was truly a catastrophic loss. She was part of a cultural movement. She gave representation and identity to so many folks, millions of people. And she had such a bright life as a future artist. Mm-hmm. And so when you take that from this world, I think all of those things are going to be front of mind for the parole board. And they might look at that and say, hey, yeah, you've been doing pretty good in prison, but you're supposed to be in prison. And I just am not sure the factors are weighing in Yolanda's favor right
now. Is there ever going to be a time for someone like that where it would weigh in her favor?
You know, I think we need to keep an open mind about it as much as it certainly stung for so many folks what she did. I think that people can change. And I think that we can't just close the door because, oh, what you did was so egregious and terrible. Unless it's something completely unforgivable. I don't think Yolanda's in that position. So yes, I think we do get to a place, but I think it also depends on track record and what good you've tried to do. We look at the Menendez brothers and they tried to bring good to, male child victims of sex assault while they were incarcerated. I'm not sure Yolanda has such a card to play at this parole hearing.
No, she doesn't really have any card other than good behavior. She still denies that she did it on purpose. She still claims it was a horrible accident. And at this point, I'm going to imagine she probably believes it, even if reality is completely different. You tell yourself that for 30 years and you're still sticking with it. I'm guessing it's ingrained. How does that weigh with the parole board when someone who has served their time, they've been good, but they still say, I didn't do it?
You know, it weighs horribly. And what I would say to anyone in that position is be smart about it. Like, you know, you don't have to come out and necessarily say, yes, I killed this person in cold blood. You know, but take responsibility. Say, hey, I was involved in a situation and my actions led to the death of someone else. And that caused misery for millions of people. And I feel horrible about that. And I'm taking responsibility for that. That's still not admitting like, hey, I committed murder against this person. But to be so obstinate in what courts have repeatedly said is not true, your innocence. I think the parole board is going to just grimace at that and say, oh, God, gross.
If she does get out, what kind of security risk do you think she faces herself from, you know, people out there who want to take vengeance all these years later?
Oh, gosh. You know, like I was saying, just how immeasurable this loss was to Selena and to the communities that identified with her, that pain lingers. That's still ongoing. That doesn't go away. It might, you know, you might not have it every day as time goes on, but certainly there are some people who are aggrieved by this and who want vengeance for Selena. And does that present a personal safety risk to Yolanda if she's released? You bet it does.
I would think Yolanda would need to go very, 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 very far north to get away from anyone knowing
Greenland.
Somewhere. Yes. And because I it would not work out well anywhere else. I think most of the United States. I guess it's kind of shocking to think that this person could be released, but that's how it works. You think, oh, they're 30 years is a long way from now. They'll never let her out. Well, here we are. We'll see. See what happens. But a lot of good points on parole boards and how they work and all the things that they're going to have to take into consideration. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.